This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Hi, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Friday to you, April 12th. Did start the morning, obviously, with terrible news out of Whitehaven. I'm sure you've seen it by now. Three officers shot, one Memphis police officer dead. Suspect dead as well after, you know, cops approached a car. Likely stolen in this case, and they are immediately shot at and returned fire. And you read that three cops got hit. One, certainly praying for his family, lost his life. The suspect, 18 years old, lost his life, obviously. And the other suspect, 17 years old, kids. Talked about it with Calkins this morning. It's not the kind of story you want to wake up to, but too often we are doing so in Memphis. Got a problem. Got a real problem with the youth going on in Memphis, Tennessee right now. I'm sure at some point we will touch back on that. We will talk sports today. Kentucky's got a new basketball coach. I don't know how many people are excited about it, but Mark Pope, former national champion at Kentucky, is your new basketball coach there. He's coming over from BYU. We will get all deep into that. I'm curious what my partner thinks about the hire there. He was not one of the guys we had talked about Kentucky needed to go after, certainly after missing on Scott Drew, after missing on Hurley. But they do have their new basketball coach, and he's got a deal in place. We'll see what's happening. I've already talked to the grassroots world about this hire. I'll tell you what they've got to say about it. We'll get to that. You got Lakers Grizzlies tonight. Obviously, 7 p.m. tip now. 13 Grizzlies on the injury list. So you know what it is. I mean, for the Grizzlies at this point, everybody's sitting. But this will be a Lakers team that right now is locked into the play-in, and I guess trying not to be the 10 seed at this point. They're 15.5-point favorites. Of course, you can hear all that right here on 92.9 FM ESPN starting at 7 o'clock. Pregame will be at 6:30. So a lot to get to. Got a full show. And my partner is here with us right now. I believe I can't see him, but he's with us.
Yeah, I'm here.
Beautiful.
And
beautiful.
I'm sorry that I couldn't be there in person, Jason.
So you're going to miss our in-studio, both of our in-studio guests, but it's okay. We have you, though, and they will be able to hear you.
That was kind of the consideration, you know, because I woke up with pink eye. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Kids, man.
So my wife had pink eye early this week and missed some days. So it's weird that she got it and then you got it, but I didn't get it.
Were you the spreader, yes. Jason? Did you spread it and not get it?
I don't think so. I'm not just a carrier that...
You're not just a carrier that was immune to it.
And I sleep in the same bed with her, John. Yeah. Now, I'm going to assume, like you said, you got yours from your kids.
Yeah.
Well, if Sam didn't poot on your pillow.
If you are the spreader, I'm going to sue you.
So. Better check Sam, buddy. Anyway, we're just glad we've got you here. Maybe a little under the weather, but you are here with us. Because I got to know what you think about Mark Pope. And of course, you know, our guests would miss you if you weren't here. So at least they'll be able to hear your questions.
Yeah. So Anthony Sain's going to join us in studio at 11:25. We'll talk to him. We'll ask him. You know, we got 27 of the best moments from Harrington.
Oh yes.
And we'll ask him to go down his list of 27 best moments from this Grizzlies season, one by one, with in elaborate detail. And so we'll do Anthony Sain. I was just impressed Harrington found 27 moments, to be honest.
He had to cut it down. He usually does 50, right? I think that's it. But you're right. I would have had a hard time even finding 27. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, GG, okay. Vince, okay. Ja coming back, okay. What the hell else we got?
There are a couple shots made in there, you know.
Yeah.
Jaren's big one.
Anyway.
Yeah. Huge.
We'll talk to Anthony Saint about all of that at 11:25. And then at 1:25, Curtis Gibbons III, CG3, is going to join us in studio. And we'll talk to him and probably one of his last appearances, time in Memphis before he heads off to Baton Rouge, huh?
I mean, that's my guess. I'm sure he'll be there at some point this summer. He's probably back in Memphis for a break after just winning the national championship last weekend over at Montverde. So finished off an undefeated season, national championship season. You remember, there a couple of years ago, there were certainly questions about whether he was making the right decision, because for Curtis, who's a four-star prospect, we know LSU's getting a good one, but you go to Montverde where they're going to have the number one prospect in the country and they're going to have five stars. There's a chance you're going to ride the bench, as opposed to you could be the man right in Memphis at MUS or whatever school you go. So there were some questions whether he was making the right decision. I bet you he'd tell you, I feel like I made the right one now. That's something we'll certainly get into him with. But there were a lot of folks that said, man, what are you doing? You making the right move? Looks like he did, but we'll see what he's got to say about it. I know that he was facing that criticism early.
Yeah, we'll do that at 1:25. So looking forward to catching up with Curtis to give.
Maybe I have some LSU gear for you, John.
Okay.
I know you'd sport that.
No chance.
I know you'd sport that.
I mean, LSU, again, is definitely a school that I would agree to send Riley to.
Do you have a relationship at all with Matt McMahon? Isn't that the
never
LSU?
Talked to him.
Okay.
Yes.
That's Ja's old coach at Murray State, right?
Yes.
We've never had him on, right?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Just to clarify, though, it would be for John's son, not his daughter. He would not send his daughter to LSU for the women's program there at
LSU. Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, hopefully Kim Mulkey
women's
will
basketball.
Be gone.
Yeah, just trying to clarify for, you know.
Good point.
Yeah.
Didn't think about that.
Yeah.
But if she's not there, if she's, you know.
Yeah, gone.
You know, the great beyond, certainly we would, you know, we would definitely consider that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's the show today. Looking forward to it as always, even if I can't be there. But my eye is pink and Kentucky fans are red with anger and embarrassment, it appears, after last night. It's not Dan Hurley. It's not Billy Donovan. It's not Scott Drew. It's Mark Pope, the BYU coach, the former Utah Valley coach, who has never won an NCAA tournament game. And it's Mark Pope, by the way, getting paid $5.5 million, I read, to come be the Kentucky coach. So if you thought that, all right, well, he's coming on a discount, you're not getting Mark Pope on a discount either. So you're paying top dollar for Mark Pope, and that is who Mitch Barnhart settles on for the opening. Jason, we'll throw it to you. What were your first thoughts when you saw the news?
Yuck. I'll keep it that simple. Again, especially when we were talking about the kind of guys we had been saying we thought Kentucky needed to go after missing on Scott Drew, Dan Hurley, understood why you didn't get those guys, but whether it was Billy Donovan or, hey, maybe down the list, Bruce Pearl, there were better choices. And again, I understand it seems like the news is that they never contacted Billy Donovan and they never contacted Bruce Pearl. To go to a guy that can't even tell you, we're about to go win conference championships because he's never won one. Or that, you know, yeah, we're about to make runs in the NCAA tournament, deep ones, right? Forget Cal and not getting past the first week. We're going to go deeper. He's never won a tournament game. How do you sell that? And then to your point, you're not even getting this, you know, national champ that won one with you in 96. You're not even getting him at a discount as a former player or whatever else. Remember, Penny came in on a discount. You know what I mean? Now, I realize Mark Pope's been at BYU, made a pretty decent transition over to the Big 12 this year, sure. But the man hasn't won a thing. And you're telling me there are guys that you didn't call, you didn't reach out to, that would have come in, and like I said with Pearl, checked a lot more boxes. Been to a Final Four, been to a championship game, sure hadn't won one, but that's a lot more than what Mark Pope's done. I cannot believe, to be honest with you, and maybe I should have. There were folks... My man Tony was saying Wednesday, man, watch out for the BYU coach. You know, I don't know if you had to be deeply embedded in the Kentucky, you know, to know that it could eventually realistically get to him. I wasn't. I didn't think it could. And so I'm stunned at how poorly this was done. Again,
he could end up being fine. Kentucky needs better than fine. Okay? And so that's where I've read from some of them that are trying to spin this. Well, maybe we got to upgrade in the coaching department, right? Because Cal's X's and O's, Cal on the court, could always be questioned. Bro, if that's the case, if you want to give it that it's a coaching upgrade, it's a fallback in every other area, you know, in terms of a downgrade, I should say. The opposite of upgrade. It's a downgrade in every other department. So I look at it and say, boy, you blew this. That's what I say.
Yeah, I could not agree more.
Let me ask you, John. Were they scared that Billy, and I realized there was a weight involved there, or Bruce Pearl would say no, or it was a deal where, no, we would never call Bruce Pearl, what show calls, everything else. He's beneath us. And Billy, hey, maybe we just think he'll tell us no, or we can't. Do you think it was that? Was it that with those two? Or is this just a deal where they said, no, you know what? We're going to go with a guy, you know, that we know is going to say yes. I mean, how do you get to Pope? Tell me, please. I need to.
Yeah, you're not considering Bruce Pearl. You're not considering Sean Miller.
That's foolish.
Of the histories.
That's foolish.
Yeah.
In my eyes. Auburn's already done the work there. They've already, you know, rehabbed right. Bruce. Mm-hmm. Auburn's done the work. And it's been
season. We're talking about things that happen in a completely different landscape, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about things that happen when the NCAA mattered. We're talking about things that happened when there was no NIL. You know, it's like Kelvin Sampson getting fired in Indiana for the texts, you know, or the calls or whatever it was. It's like
Aaron Kraft being at his house on a visit.
Right.
Bruce lied about it.
He lied.
And
okay.
That makes him beneath you as Kentucky.
Right.
Supposed to be the bluest of blue bloods. This is what you take and you're going to keep this thing regal looking? No, it's not. It's going to fall off, John. You know, I got folks saying he doesn't have relationships with the kind of players and player getters that Kentucky's used to getting.
Exactly.
So when
right.
they get this second tier, third tier of player from the get-go, they're not going to be happy. And then what are you going to tell? Well, and then I need some time to mold it. That ain't going to go over well. So again, I just go back to to Mitch, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, I think that's the key of it here.
You ain't going to have a fan base. He's got to convince
you don't have NBA players to sell because you've never had one. You don't have championships to sell because you've never won one. You don't have NCAA tournament success to sell because you've never had that.
Or the recruiting chops.
So it's like I feel like we should have come away from this search, because if the thinking and the operating theory is Kentucky. And it's going to sell itself. Well, I feel like this search should have told you that it ain't that anymore. It ain't just enough on its own. You got to have more that you're bringing to the table, because everybody has NIL, right? Everybody does. So what do you got? You know, he doesn't have, like, to me, you got to be cut from a different cloth to be successful in that job. And I don't think Mark Pope is. I think he's a good coach, but I think everybody's a good coach mostly. I mean, everybody can coach. It's not about that at Kentucky. What else are you bringing to the table? And I think that's the part of it that Kentucky fans are going to be very rightly disappointed by.
But you're paying, and you're paying him like this proven winner.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a big
leap. Unbelievable. She didn't get a discount, at least. You know?
I think the athletic director is out of his league. That's what I believe.
I think he's trying to make him a football school. That's what I think.
Yeah, like I truly believe that what this all has shown, that the athletic director, you know, football fine, but if you look at his basketball hires, he didn't want to hire Cal in the first place. So he hired Billy Gillespie, hired Cal reluctantly, didn't want to do it, had to be basically strong-armed into doing it, and now he's hiring Mark Pope. You know, the reality of the situation is, to me, that, like, he just looks like crap in all of this. Like, I honestly, if I had a lot of money in Kentucky, I would have him. He would be gone, because he failed in his main duty, which is to protect Kentucky basketball.
So the Matt Joneses and everybody else seemed like they were carrying the water early for him and saying they're about to go after the big dogs and just you wait sort of type tweets or whatever else. What are they saying now? Are they finding a way to spin it positive now? Because, I'm having to dig to find the Kentucky folks that are saying, this could be an upgrade in coaching. I don't know if you've seen it. I might be putting you on the spot. But is he still spinning it? Is Matt Jones still spinning it as this is good? How can you?
No, I think I was listening to a little bit of the space last night. I think Matt Jones is skeptical, just like everybody else.
Okay. I think he's open to the
possibility that it could be successful. But, I mean, look, nobody was talking about Mark Pope. You know, like a settle, you know, and it is a settle.
Wait till Cal comes in there and blasts them with a bunch of five stars and dudes that were signed and committed to them at one point.
Jason, this is the truth, man. Like,
embarrassing is what it's going to be in there.
Mitch Barnhart did not give Cal the facilities when Cal had the money raised. Cal had the money raised. Mm-hmm. He had the former Kentucky guys coming behind him and showing support. He had the money. He had the support. But Mitch Barnhart said no. So Mitch Barnhart says no. Cal goes out and says the stuff he says about the football team. It rubs Mitch the wrong way. It rubs Mark Stoops the wrong way. So then Mitch stops trying to foster a working relationship with Calipari. The next 2 years are just awkward and uncomfortable. Cal underachieves, and it leads to this. And, you know, I feel like if you're Mitch Barnhart, it was your responsibility to foster that relationship. And what ended up happening is you've now basically pushed out one of the most successful active coaches that we have in this game, and you've replaced him with a man that has never landed a five-star player, that has never landed an All-American, that has never landed, has never won an NCAA tournament game. And we're supposed to believe that this is some sort of upgrade. This is some sort of, the dawn of a new successful era. I mean, you guys sell that stuff to somebody else, bro. I ain't buying it.
Yeah. No, it's if you're not having a better relationship with Cal, you should have had a better plan for who you could have gone and gotten. Should Cal move on? I mean, if you want to call it blindside or whatever else, you had to have a plan, a backup plan that was better than Mark Pope, because you're going to see it when they're introduced. I mean, we saw the excitement level in Fayetteville for what they're getting. They feel like they, like we said, hit a grand slam home run. It's going to be uncomfortable around there early when they see what Mark Pope is bringing in. And, you know, this press conference where the only thing he can sell is, I won a national title with you. Good luck, man. Again, it could get, I keep hearing, it could work out, right? It could also just as easily flame out. It go 2 years, he's not bringing in players. They're going, around 500 in the SEC. Cal and everybody else is coming in there and beating them, and you're ready to move on in 2 years. It could very well go that way, too, because because Barnhart blew this. That's where you're at.
And he doesn't care. He doesn't care because he'll just retire.
Perhaps maybe is that why he doesn't care? He's not going to hear about it. He's not going to go out. I mean, this will be a stain on his legacy. Then if he's going to go out like that, that's what I'm saying. You better work to correct this. You go out like this, it'll be a stain on your time there.
I mean, he's 64, so you could see him retiring in 2 years. You know.
Perhaps.
Yikes.
So, I don't know when you plan to retire, but...
Well, I got plenty of years left in me, buddy. Plenty more. Now, we'll check with me after next month. We'll see how much gas is left in the tank at that point. But, yeah, no, I feel like I'm good to go, John. Could go do another two decades, perhaps.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
I want to go longer than Calkins. Can we make it happen?
Dude, Roman Reigns, title reign right there.
Well, nobody will be Lapidus, right? He got up there, didn't he? And was still on the air. I know it was maybe less, but he was still on. No, nobody will touch that. I figure the only guy I can go after is Calkins. We'll see Calkins can keep the record going, though. He's still working. I feel like Lapidus was at least into his 70s. I feel like that. Now, I might be making that up. I hope I'm not. But I feel like he had gotten into his 70s, well above where Calkins is.
What was the length of time he was on the air?
Oh, I mean, it was decades. Was it not? It was. I have 20, 30. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
I'm gonna go for Lapidus record too.
No, you're about to go national. Like
I've been on the air. I've been on the air every single day for 11 years.
You and our next guest are going to be going national out of Memphis soon. So don't local radio that. After a while, that'll be just a, you know, that'll be an early part of y'all's stories.
I'll come on with you every week if you pay me $50.
No, not going to pay you when you're making national money.
If you pay me $50, I'll come on.
I feel like you would owe that to me at that point. Yep. Remember the athletic.
I think you owe me $50 a week if I do it.
All right, man. All right, man. All right, we have a guest awaiting, so you want to continue to talk about your retirement in 30 years.
Yes, actually, but I'll put it on pause and we can revisit it in the rundown.
Thank you.
After we talk to Anthony Sain, who's going to join us in studio about the Grizz, college basketball, lots to get to with him. He's up next. Jason and John on HRNFM, ESPN.
Yeah, it's about to be playoff time in the NBA and the NHL. Baseball's in full swing now. FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed, and FanDuel couldn't be making it any easier. That's $150 win or lose. This is not a have to win your first bet. You could lose it and bet on everything when you win that bonus, those bonus bucks, from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all in an app that's safe, secure, super easy, and fun to use. Again, you don't even have to win your first bet. It's already a dub. So what are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/JSmith. Make your first bet an automatic W. That's FanDuel.com/JSMITH. Again, FanDuel makes it easy. They're America's number one sports book and official partner of 929 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
789.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Probably shouldn't be driving. It just got so much harder. Can't even see it straight.
Anthony Sain is the host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media. Make sure you're checking it out. Tribe Chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, father of five-star 2032 multiple prospect Gabriel Sain. You can follow him at Sain Asylum. That's on X, formerly Twitter. And was just doing, saw this weekend, and we had talked about it going into it. You were doing a little wrestling work. I saw you on the desk there with Cerrito, getting real major with the wrestling commentary.
Yeah, man. I had my debut last Saturday at Black Lodge. Been a long-time fan going to the shows. I know Kevin Cerrito comes on Jeff Calkins' show every Wednesday. And, yeah, I'm officially part of the team over there, man. Super excited about it. I had a good time.
Looked like it.
Yeah, it got a little rough that first day, though, man. Somebody came out, one of the wrestlers came out and put hands on Kevin Cerrito. Bobby Ford, who was formerly the champion, he's been in his feelings the last, you know, month or so, since he lost the belt to his friend Andy Mack. So he's had kind of an attitude adjustment, you know, so to speak. So
can we expect somebody to try to put some hands on
man,
you?
They do that, man, because my man got fined.
That would have been a good initiation if they had bringing you in, if
now,
they had
see,
done that to you.
He got a fine for putting his hands on Cerrito. He's going to get a little bit more than a fine if he was, you know, play with me like that. But, you know.
And you were dapper as well. You had like
you,
a Doc Holliday type dapper to you that evening.
It's hard to be smooth with Doc, man. But yeah. I put my stuff on, man.
How much are you watching? I know our man John Martin's got questions from above.
He'll that's so fast, though. May 18th is the next show at Black Lodge.
May 18th.
It's one of our signature shows. It's called Hyped Up. It's one of our new signature events that we're having. Y'all come check it out at Black Lodge, 7 p.m. Doors open at 6. Tickets available at 901wrestling.com. You get to see my second show. Maybe somebody may want to try to put hands on me, and y'all see how that'll all play out.
But you are always working. And you're looking ahead now because the Grizz season feels done.
Yeah, it's super done.
It's super a wrap.
Another thing, too, man, all my university members, football fans, Gabe has an unofficial visit on campus tomorrow. He said he has an on-campus visit tomorrow.
What?
To the University of Memphis. So, hey, do what y'all need to do, man.
Will he be there for the spring game on the 20th?
I don't know.
That's
it depends on how this goes tomorrow, man.
An unofficial on-campus visit.
Yeah, unofficial on-campus visit tomorrow. He'll be there on campus tomorrow.
Gabe, I read about 6'4".
No.
275?
He's over 5 feet, though, I think. I think Gabe's over 5 feet because he looks his mom in the face, and his mom's like 5'1". So I think he's over 5 feet.
Grizzlies.
Man, I'm glad it's over, bro.
Right, exactly. It's the feeling we all have.
I can't tell you last game I set up and watched.
But the good that would not have happened if we hadn't gone through the bad is Vince and Gigi.
Vince, Gigi.
This had to happen for them to sort of be born the way they were.
Yeah, for sure. All those things are major for those two guys to, especially like Vince, man, because Gigi's a guy that people kind of figured, like I bet that guy has promise. You're talking about a guy who's been, you know, top high school prospect all through high school.
Yep.
You could even see some of it in college. But Vince was, like, nowhere on the totem pole. You know what I mean? Like, he was below the Zaires, the David Roddy's, the Jake LaRavia's, as far as the pecking order. He was, like, the guy who was still on a two-way contract, and there was no light at the end of the tunnel for him. And for all those injuries to happen, and him to get his opportunity, and just to find a guy who now you're saying, if someone said today the Grizzlies are going to start Vince at the three, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. Like, I wouldn't have any issue with it. And that's a guy that we thought was just a guy that was just probably. If things had played out different this year, this end of this summer, Vince Williams probably would have got waived because this has been his second year in the two-way. We didn't have a roster spot for him. Wouldn't have had a roster spot for him.
You don't get
Vince would have been gone. We would have never seen what Vince Williams is. And Gigi is just phenomenal. I'm a little upset with the way he's being used right now. I think they should be trying to feature Gigi a little bit more. Too many of Gigi's games, whether they're good or bad, are depending on whether or not he's making three-pointers. And I think his game is a lot more to that. So maybe that's something they can
experiment with. Two games because, I mean, 13 dudes out.
I just don't get it, man. Like, I understand they're trying to, you know, showcase LaRavia and see if they have any kind of value in him either as a player or as a trade asset. But I don't think that's worth – like putting Gigi in a corner. I don't really understand that whole logic at all because they're not really trying to feature him. And I know, like, he's physically not able to do a lot of stuff in spite of his skill level that he has, but I don't get it. But I expect a big summer out of Gigi. He's got some basic NBA conditioning stuff he's got to do to take his game to the next level. But I think he'll be an outstanding player for us going forward. And like I said, like you said, another shimmer of light in a dark season for sure.
Been horrible.
Yeah,
John, you got some?
Yeah. Yeah, what's up, bro?
Want to make sure we introduce you into this?
They say you got pink eye or something.
Yeah, I'm here.
You get that for putting your face in the wrong place sometimes.
Yep.
I guess, man. I don't know. I wish it was somebody. I think it's just my kid. Or Jason, man. I think Jason gave it to me, bro. He won't
ain't
get accountable for it.
Ain't none of my business, bro. Jason looks fine. His eye is not pink.
I know he does, but look, can you do me a favor saying, like
studying right at real the bro.
Does he look guilty?
I opened up my innocent eyes to him.
We have pink eye plexiglass in here, John.
Yeah, man.
It has to be his kids.
Hey. All I'm going to say, man.
Big guy's one of them ones that's just embarrassing.
Yeah, because they do say it comes from your face in the wrong place.
Right.
I couldn't face Curtis Gibbons III and Anthony Sain today. Couldn't do it.
Oh, y'all got Curtis coming on?
Yeah, third hour.
Yeah, look at that.
He just won a national championship at Montverde.
For real?
Yep.
That's what's up, bro.
Hey, I was going to ask, saying, like, in terms of job next year, you know, because that's where all the focus is, like, do they need him to – I mean, he's already taken – so many steps, but is there another one for him to take, or is it just a deal where they just need him to be available and be what he's been the last 2 to 3 years?
I'd like to see John add a little more diversity to his offensive game, you know, a little bit more mid-range. He's got the floater that you know he can go to, but maybe more of a mid-range pull-up. You know, of course, if he can knock down the three-point shot a little better. He's already, you know, he can already make any pass and get to the basket at will. I wish he could add those type of things. And just maybe, just kind of like shot maturity as far as like, because, you know, John get excited and try to jump over Wembanyama, those type of things. So I want to see John a little bit more upright than on his back in the future. So those type of things, but not a ton. But like, I don't really think he has to like, really add a lot to his bag. But like I said, just more in the mid-range and, of course, just increase his three-point shooting.
Is he just what he is defensively, or can he get better on that side too?
I think he can.
Significantly better.
Yeah, I think he can. As he gets stronger, he's definitely athletic enough to be a good defender as he gets stronger. And I think as his team's scoring load, as his scoring load is decreased, I think that can help him too. Because you got guys like Jaren, who's he's up in his offensive ability. Desmond Bane, you feel like he probably still has something else left in him. Gigi will be another good scorer next year. Jake LaRavia, no, I'm joking about Jake. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think as guys get better around him, it'll be easier for him to score going forward. So he won't have to, or less be less of a responsibility to score. So he won't have to exert so much of his energy on offense. And like we've seen Ja be a better defender so far, period. You know what I mean? They still have to hide him a little bit, but not as much as they did, you know, when he first got in the league.
I saw you and your old partner Peter telling folks to calm down about Jake LaRavia's performance.
Yeah, man, I'm excited for Jake and excited for people that are excited for Jake. But, I mean, I don't have any. My thoughts on what he is hasn't changed. And I talked about this on my show that you guys can watch. Catch the podcast whenever you can. That was the first. We opened the show talking about the whole Jake LaRavia thing. And I don't have the excitement level. I don't have the optimism of other people because what he's doing isn't. Most of what he's doing isn't translatable to an actual game. Like, you know what I mean? He's playing.
When he's on the floor with.
Right. First of all, he is. Right. First of all, he's an NBA player. So mm-hmm. he's capable of going on these type of hop streaks. I've seen our good friend D. Wilkes go 90 of 100 from three.
D went 90 of 100?
I've seen D in the empty gym just knock down a million shots before, right, and, like, not miss. And I've seen NBA players do the same thing, and I've seen them get hot in games like that. But it's a – and, of course, he was making these shots with competition on the court, all those type of things. But I don't need – and the Grizzlies don't need Jake LaRavia to be a guy who can score 24, 30 points. They need a guy who can score about 10, 12 points, go about 3 or 5 from 3. He ain't got to go 8 of 11. He can right. go 3 of 6, 3 of 7 from 3 is a good night for a guy like Jake LaRavia. Can he be a guy who can come in when the other team is saying, okay, we're playing the Memphis Grizzlies, not the Memphis Hustle, you know, like they played the other night. When the team is giving you their best effort and both teams are going at it, can he be a guy in that type of high expectation situation where if Ja breaks a guy down off the dribble, I can kick it to Jake and he can knock down a three? He hasn't shown that ability in the NBA yet. He's shown the ability to score in the G League games, and, yeah. and that's what that was the other night. Yeah, he's playing against other NBA players, but the level of intensity from the other team is not the same as it would be if it was the Grizzlies that's versus true. Cleveland, you know, in a regular game when everybody's fully loaded. And like I said, I'm happy that he's showing that he has a pulse, that he can do something on the court. But we've seen him in those type of environments. We saw Kenneth Lofton score 42 points last year.
It is true.
I didn't think he was little Jokic when I saw that. I didn't think this is who he was going to be, you know what I mean? Even though that's what he looked like in that particular game. But, you know, we saw my boy with the Knicks, or is it Toronto now? I don't know who he plays for. He scored 50 a few weeks ago, and then he followed that up with three. You know what I mean?
Malachi.
Little, yeah, it's Malachi Flynn. Like, yep. That's not who Jake LaRavia is. And like I said, if he can be a guy who can be a Max Struss type player, who can, you know, knock down threes in the corner, or just, you know, be a guy who can be a driving kick type of guy, driving kick target for three, cool. But that's not what he's doing right now. The Grizzlies is, like, heavily featuring him. And he's playing, like, you know, 30-plus minutes a game. He won't play those type of minutes. And you need guys who can come in. There was the thing they said about, I'm trying to think who the guy was. There's a lot of guys in the NBA who, if they play a lot of minutes, they can be productive. But if you ask them to be productive in 10, 12 minutes, they right. can't do it. They got to catch a rhythm. They got to get a ton of shots up to get going. He won't be allowed those opportunities when John and them are back. So has this turned him into a guy who's going from a total waste on your team, a total negative, to a guy who could possibly be your 12th, 13th man, or make a John Conchar expendable, or make a Zaire Williams expendable? Mm-hmm. Sure, whatever. I mean, my thing is he a guy where if you need a roster spot, can you trade him without having to give up an asset? Can you send him out and get, you know, like, can you send him to a team who has a free roster spot and say, hey, let me send you him with no return and I don't have to pay you anything back? Like, I don't have to give up a draft pick or anything to make that happen. If that's the kind of guy, or you can involve him in a sign and trade for someone like Andre Drummond or something like that, and that actually works, that would be, you know, a positive return for me. But I'm not excited about anything I see in April. Yeah. because we saw Gigi do these things in a different flow, in a different setting of the NBA, a different version of this team. To see Jake when he's obviously the most tenured, probably, if not the best, one of the best players out there on the court for his team, when he's being featured to go out there, and the Griffin and Green like to go do whatever, I don't get excited about that, because that's not the role he'll play for us. At the end of the day, he's a 33% shooter, and that's not – we need him to be, can I give you the ball in the corner, and you knock that ball down with confidence. I've seen him hit more of those off the side of the backboard than I've seen him knock those down with confidence. You know what I mean? So I need him to be that guy. I didn't get excited about. I mean, it's good for him. It's not like I'm going around saying bah humbug about it, but I'm not like, oh man, we found something in Jake. Like, I don't have the feeling I had with him that I felt with, you know, when I saw Vince doing things, when I saw Gigi doing good things.
John, I got one more for him on Grizz real quick.
How you feel about it, John?
Let me ask him, and we're talking, of course, the great Anthony Sain, host of the Anthony Sain show on Bluff City Media. If obviously exit interviews are Monday,
mm-hmm.
and if I lined up every single Grizz player, all of them, all in front of you, mm-hmm. Zach Kleiman, Taylor Jenkins, and I told you, saying what's going to be, you take your pick, one question to whichever one of them, which would you go to, and what would the question be in terms of things you want to know going into the offseason? You got Ja if you want it, you got Kleiman, you got Taylor Jenkins if you want them. Where would you? Which direction would you go? Which player, which coach, or the coach or the general manager? What would you ask?
This might be a reality. I might slide down there Monday. I would ask Ja. This is a pretty cliche question. I'm sure a million people are going to ask this. But, like, Ja with the – because if you even go back to including last year, Ja's missed a lot of time. A lot of time, bro. You know what I mean? You missed almost all of this year, 25-game suspension last year, injuries last year, all these different – suspension last year, all these things.
Yeah.
I would ask him how connected does he actually feel to the team? Like, how do you feel any level of, at this point, do you feel, because, like, Brandon Clark was gone for over a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, it felt like Brandon Clark was gone for 2 or 3 years. It felt like he was gone for a very long time.
Sure.
Bro. So I just wonder, does he feel, how anxious does he feel? Like, what's his level of, like, I got to come in here and do whatever? Does he feel like he's letting the team down? Or is he actually starting to feel like, man, I'm disconnected from this, bro? Like, we have co-parenting conversations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll feel like, man, like, am I really, like, does Gabe still even see me as his dad? Like, I see Gabe all the time. You know what I mean? So I wonder, what is he dealing with when he's there on the bench, all these type of things. I wonder how connected does he feel to the team considering the amount of time he's been gone away. That's what I would ask you.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I'm sure mentally he's fighting, man. I'm sure mentally he's fighting to stay in a good place. And, like, he's had a ton of, like, disappointments, man. Like, some of those are self-inflicted, of course. But this latest injury after coming back, after being gone 25 games, I think you played 9 games. Then you're gone the rest of the season. Like, that has to
suck. It's interesting because I thought you were going to say – I thought where you were going with that was, what are you going to do to protect your body?
Yeah.
If there's anything you can to that degree, LeBron pours whatever $1 million or whatever that number is in the offseason.
Yeah.
I figured you went a different way on me.
And then when you hear that with his injury that he got, when you hear that he got that injury, like,
how did he get it?
They say he did it, like,
we'd know for sure.
In some conditioning type, like, revving up type stuff, trying to get, like, working out.
Yeah.
Not particularly like basketball stuff. That's what I heard.
Okay.
That's what I heard for sure. But I mean, you know, it just sucks, man.
Because, like you said, the suspension is one thing. The injuries, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they have piled up.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, injured in the playoffs and last couple of years he was injured in the playoffs. You know what I mean? So it's like, dude, I know he just probably mentally, I just want to see, man, are you good, bro? That type of stuff. Like, where are you? Like, do you feel connected to this?
Yeah.
Like, because you don't want Ja to come in like this buzzsaw mentality and then he's just, like, playing out of control or hurt or whatever. So, yeah, I just kind of wonder where his headspace is with the amount of time he's been away. Like, when he's there, but he's not there. Like, he's literally just in street clothes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how mentally he is with all that's going on.
Hey, say, what do you make of the kind of Arkansas news and then what Kentucky did?
I mean, it's pretty cool, right? Because it's like Calipari is just, you know, master finesse master, man. And just to do it again at this stage of his career, when the game is kind of, I'm not going to say passing him by, but he's not the Calipari he was even 5 years ago, as far as a lot has changed in the college basketball landscape, you know what I mean? So he's not the leverage he had, the tricks he could use, you know, the best damn sports show appearances and the coaching international teams to get access to these players. Those advantages don't even matter anymore. The things that Calipari was able to get into in this NIL transfer portal landscape we live in, you know, Joe Schmo at whatever school that has billionaire investors can compete with a John Calipari, you know. And it's cool that he's going to Arkansas, a school that's super excited about him coming there, just to be a team that's going to go to be in that higher tier. If the SEC alone And also, probably on the national scale, you're probably still looking at the team that's going to be a top 10 team probably the rest of the season because he'll still be able to recruit at a high level. But just the whole debacle of it all on Kentucky's side, you know, trying to – it's funny how that job, man, like one of the most heralded jobs, you know, of all time in college basketball is hiring a guy whose resume is trash, you know what I mean? So, like, you had guys turning that job down. And Calipari was, you know, breaking doors down to leave Memphis to sit at the big table. And it's like everybody's like, no, man, my table is fine. You know what I mean? I'm good over here. Like I can do everything you're doing and not on that scale. Prime example, you got UConn, who was in the AAC a few years ago, two-time national champions, and the coach has that thing in the position where, you know, he can add a couple players and get it back going again. And it's just like, you know, guys can make their own kingdom with this NIL situation because it's like if I got people supporting me, mm-hmm. I can make this happen. I don't have to go to, you know, one of the true blue blood schools to make this happen. So, like I said, it's cool that Calipari was able to basically get fired and promoted at the same time, which is basically what they did. They did a stealth termination of him in Kentucky. They basically got him up out of there, and now they're left. Their fans get to see how we felt, you know, a few years ago. Because, you know, we were the butt of their jokes for a long time. And something a lot of Tiger fans would say is, just wait a minute. You know, you'll get yours one day. And now we see them with the guy from, what's his name, from Star Wars. I can't think of the character I'm thinking about. But, yeah. Anyway.
Mark Pope is a character from Star Wars?
Like, he looks like one of the characters from Star Wars. I just can't think of the guy right now. But anyway.
that situation over there for Arkansas, I'm hoping he hires Todd Day.
That would be dope.
Who's been at Philander Smith the last 8 years. Or a Corliss Williamson, who's been in the NBA, mm-hmm. I think is with the Timberwolves now as an assistant.
Yeah.
If Corliss would want to go, but somebody, you know.
In some kind of capacity, some old blood. Needs to be there.
Yeah, yeah. Because they had, back in those old days, man, they kept Memphis players.
Yeah.
Then there was the Todd Day folks, and then the next generation, the Corey Becks and Dwight Stewarts, mm-hmm. that came over from Fairleigh that helped them win a national title. That's when it was really popping. I don't think Cal's coming back into Memphis the way that Nolan and Mike Anderson would be in Memphis because Cal can still go out and get whatever he needs. And frankly, yeah. We're not producing talent mm-hmm. like we used to. So I don't suspect.
And he just came here and got Billy. So, I mean, you know, ain't like he had to be next door to go come get
something. I mean, I guess he could have one right off the bat in Billy.
Yeah. And what? How do you think that's going to play out, though? You think he's gonna stay at Kentucky? You think he might go back into
– To play for Mark Pope?
That's what I'm saying. So is he going to Arkansas, right? Because I ain't heard Billy's name in nothing. Like, so, I'm holding out hope that he comes home. We had
heard on Wednesday who pointed out, too, that Alabama could also be a factor, as well as Memphis. Those teams that were recruiting him in there at the end, LSU had kind of fallen off, even though they were up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he and Curtis at one time were sort of considering it both.
Yeah.
They had fallen off, though. He said Bama had come up, so perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that the lean is to go with Cal to Arkansas. Yeah. Because, remember, it's Cal that his mm-hmm. father played for. Exactly. That's who the relationship exactly. with, as opposed to.
And he'll get closer to home.
John,
too.
I mean, they're about to get this. I mean, surely, the level of player that Kentucky is getting is about to change.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Under Mark Pope.
I think so.
Man, that dude is. Why, bro? Like, it wasn't nobody that could. Like, you can't tell me nobody wanted that gig, bro.
Like, I'd have gone Patino before I'd have gone Pope.
That probably would have been fired, too.
Yes.
I'm talking about Daddy Patino, Rick Patino.
Yes, Rick Patino. Yeah. I would have done that, and I thought that was silly at first, but I would have done that before I'd go Mark Pope. At least I could sell championships, and I could sell conference titles. We've done it before. Yeah. We're going to do it again.
And yeah, you'll get the nostalgia honeymoon for like 3 or 4 years, too. So, yeah, man, that's crazy. That dude, they're going to be side-eyeing that dude day one, fans are. They probably convinced themselves that they got the next somebody, but who knows? We'll see how that whole plays.
I think they, you know, I saw somebody tweet, Coach Cal doesn't want to be there in Fayetteville. We're having to hire Mark Pope. Fix this, you know, before it was all official. But
that's official, though. Like, that's done.
Oh, yeah. They missed on, you know, they missed on they missed on everybody, basically, right?
They hired Mark Jackson. Was Mark Jackson?
You know, ain't nobody touching him with a 10-foot pole. It's unfortunate, but it's
crazy, man.
It's the truth.
I wonder though, man. I wonder like why they. It's got to be somebody that was some NBA bitch or something that would have took. Like, I'm not saying a head coach, but.
Well, a lot of them you'd have had to wait on because of the, you know, they got to finish.
I mean, what you talking a week?
And with Billy Donovan,
it's 2 days.
Depending upon which NBA guy you want, Billy Donovan might have been a week or two with them in the play-in.
I would have waited a month before I hired that dude. That just seems so strange. Like, I heard y'all talking about how this dude's never won a tournament game. He's never recruited
conference titles. No regular season conference title.
I feel like he's never recruited a four or five star kid.
He's been a solid coach. And now how you put it, John, I think I would agree. I mean, he's okay. He's good. He's good so far. But he's not.
That's crazy.
He shouldn't be Kentucky.
I have had people who text me and say he's a monster, but – you know,
a monster in terms of X's and O's is as a coach, right? That's what they're talking about.
I've seen a school who had an awesome recruiter, and people said, "Hey, let's get off this recruiter guy and just go get this awesome coach." And they went and got Tubby Smith, and it was the darkest days that I've seen of that organization. So, yeah, I think that's dumb. Kentucky has to go get a guy that can go get players. I don't think.
Yeah, like. You gotta be.
Yeah, we ain't trying to coach him up at Kentucky, man. That's wild. That's wild for sure.
You mentioned UConn and what Hurley's mm-hmm. done. Did you check it all out? Did you watch Klingon at all? You know, a lot of people got him high. Yeah. Devoney's got him number three. Just what did you sort of think of him? If Grizzlies may not even have a shot to get him, but what do you think of him NBA wise? And then potentially with a team like the Grizzlies.
I don't think he's a day one kid. I don't think he's plug and play. Like, oh, we got our center, let's roll. I don't think he can like start day one. But he's got a runway, though. I can see him being a guy. And I like what Chris Harrington said, man. He was like, we don't need him to be, you know, Joel Embiid. Just be Ivanka Zubac or be Jacob Poeltl. Yeah, like you don't have to be.
Yeah,
like,
I heard that.
Yeah, just.
Yep.
And I think I see a lot of those type of players in him, just being a guy who can just be a big body defend. And he's a guy who his freshman year was a little bit more athletic, had a little bit more mobility. And I think once he totally rehabs from his injury and he gets some NBA conditioning, I think he can be a very good, you know, fifth starter on this team. Like, that's the role he'll be in, no matter who's on the court. I think he'll be the fifth guy out there on the court talent-wise, regardless of who's out there. And I think that's all he has to be, man. I don't think – because I've seen people say, oh, I wasn't impressed, man. He got killed by Edie or whatever. I'm like, man, he won't see – There's a couple of guys in the NBA that he'll have that type of defensive load against, and Zach Edey won't be one of them. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm fine with him. I mean, because defensively he made Edey work. Edey had his worst offensive game, like percentage wise, and when the game actually counted, Edey was only like 8 of 17. But like when the game was over, and UConn was in, you know, it was garbage time. That's when Edey got a lot of his late buckets in. But I think the kid's fine. I think he. Like, if he's at our pick, like, if we stay where we are, like, if he's there, I think you run to the podium and you go get him. Because I think he's a kid that, you know, in a couple of years, because he's still young. He's a sophomore. He's a kid who's still young and got a lot of potential. And he's definitely a good defender. He's shown some elite-level defense as a college player. And I think he's a guy that, like I said, I don't think he's, like, you know, game one ready. But maybe, you know, game 45, 50, he may be ready to roll. But like I said, I think he's good. I think he'll be a good player. I kind of – Edey, I like this too because Mike Wallace said this. No matter what you think about Edey, thought about Edey, your thoughts about him should have changed after watching the NCAA tournament. And I think Edey will be a pretty good player too. I don't think teams are going to use him for much offensive power, even if he – I don't think he starts for anybody.
Yeah, backup big.
Yeah, he'll be a backup big. You can just kind of get some, you know, odd buckets from him. In the NBA game. He's a guy who probably could give you maybe 6 to 8 points a game. But I think he's fine. I don't think any of these guys are, like, star-level players, but they don't have to be. I think if you can identify an NBA role player in the top 10, you take him. Because guess what? There's been a lot of guys taken in the top 10 that have not been NBA role players.
Yeah.
So if you know for sure that you found one, I would run to the podium and take one of those guys. But Edey, I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure I'd take him that high.
No,
still,
not that high.
I would have to move down a little bit to get him because he's got a lot of NBA red flags. He's obvious all-timer as far as college basketball players are concerned because he's definitely one of those throwback, you know, feed-the-hand bigs from you know, another time. But I wouldn't take him in the top 10, but I definitely would take Klingon for sure.
I can't get you out of here without giving you and John some space to talk about WrestleMania, the highlights for you all. My take, Jade. That was it. She's fantastic. But you and John, y'all gave us a great preview last Friday. Just both of you.
Yeah, guys. I mean, I'll say this, Sam. I mean, my big takeaway is that it was great. I only watched the main events both nights, but they were great. And of course, the second night was just epic. But Steve Austin should be ashamed of himself.
What you mean?
For not being a part of that.
Oh, yeah. But you know what, man? He couldn't get up there with The Rock looking terrible, man. The Rock out there looking like $1 million, you know, still super over. Stone Cold would have came out there looking terrible. He wasn't going to come out there and let The Rock
wrinkled
make
up.
That bad, man. You know that.
I mean, does Steve Austin, I guess he would. I mean, does he look that bad? I haven't seen him. I mean,
man, The Rock was looking
next
like.
Next to The Rock.
Come on, man.
He's probably right
now. He would have looked incredible.
I mean, The Rock wrestled, you know, a full match. So he was in a 12-week training camp. So, yes, it would have been different.
Yeah, for sure.
But I will say, like.
But I will say, to your point, though, like, I know what you're saying. Like, my concern with WrestleMania, well, I will say this. I can say ass, right? I can say.
Yeah.
If you must.
Hey, shout out to WWE, like, having, like, real ass on TV. Like, black woman ass on TV.
Wow.
Like,
that, okay, that's the reference.
Right.
Yeah, you didn't.
Booty. Yeah, I mean, as in booty.
We were deceived.
Yeah, man. Like, shout out for sure, man. Like, between Jade and Bianca Belair, and shout out to you, Brad, for co-signing.
Brad went on co-sign that black tail comment.
And what's the other lady? Because Naomi got the craziest one out of three of them. But just, it's good to see real black butt on TV.
Well, John was, my girl Jay's got to work. Like, she was getting out talked.
Man, she's so fine.
What did you send me?
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.